Welcome to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. As we approach God's Word, let's take a prayerful breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Listen to God's Word this day.
Please join me in the Eucharistic prayer for illumination. Let us pray. God, speak clearly through your text. May we hear your truth, especially when it challenges us. Be the voice of love that we need to hear. Amen. Today's first scripture reading is the 67th Psalm. Listen to God's word. May God be gracious to us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us, that your way may be known upon earth, your saving power among all nations. Let the people praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. Let the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you judge the peoples with equity and guide the nations upon earth. Let the peoples praise you, O God. Let all the people praise you. The earth has yielded its increase. God, our God, has blessed us. May God continue to bless us. Let all the ends of the earth revere him. Today's second reading is from the book of Acts, chapter 16, verses 9 through 15. During the night, Paul had a vision. There stood a man of Macedonia pleading with him and saying, "Come over to Macedonia and help us." When he had seen the vision, we immediately tried to cross over to Macedonia, being convinced that God had called us to proclaim the good news to them. We therefore set sail from Troas and took a straight course to Samothrace, the following day to Neapolis, and from there to Philippi, which is a leading city of the district of Macedonia and a Roman colony. We remained in this city for some days. On the Sabbath day, we went outside the gate by the river, where we supposed there was a place of prayer, and we sat down and spoke to the women who had gathered there. A certain woman named Lydia, a worshiper of God, was listening to us. She was from the city of Thyatira and a dealer in purple cloth. The Lord opened her heart to listen eagerly to what was said by Paul. When she and her household were baptized, she urged us, saying, "If you have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come and stay at my home." And she prevailed upon us. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
A few years ago, one of my best friends and her spouse bought a local small business in the town where we used to live in Wisconsin. I had met Aaron, a Lutheran pastor, when her colleagues in my town adopted me into their weekly Bible study and sermon preparation group. She actually at that time lived in a more rural community as she was serving a church outside of town. And for the first few years, we knew each other only that way. But eventually, she actually received a call to serve the Lutheran church right down the street from my own congregation. And we spent a lot of time doing ministry together. Eventually, after serving these two churches, Aaron was tapped to be the assistant to the bishop in her Lutheran synod. It lasted a few years until the bishop's term was up, and then Aaron's life and call took a really dramatic turn as she became the owner of a small lifestyle and gift shop specializing in goods that are sustainably and ethically sourced. It was located in the cute little downtown shopping district, not all that different from some of the ones we find around here. when she found out that her offer was accepted by the sellers of the shop and she would be leaving traditional ministry, Erin was a whole lot thrilled and a little bit nervous. But when I heard the news, I was a little bit thrilled and a whole lot nervous, and I wasn't even the one buying the store. We wondered together, or more accurately, I stressed out loud about how she was going to learn everything that needed to be learned, how she was going to figure out what to stock and how much of it, how she was going to find employees she trusted, how she was going to deal with the crises that came up or know what to do about things like sales tax or employment law or payroll, or I could think of a lot of things for her to worry about. Running a small business sounded daunting and extremely time-consuming to me. And after I probably threw one too many scary ideas at Erin, she replied, "Stephanie, I won't be doing everything all the time." But I was skeptical, and I thought of my friend and her new vocation as a small business owner, someone who was very brave. Lydia, from the book of Acts, is a small business owner in Philippi. It was a rare occurrence for a woman in New Testament times. She was a dealer in purple cloth, cloth that is worn by and sold exclusively to powerful and wealthy people. No mention is made of a father or a husband or a brother in relation to her or her business. She is referred to as the head of her own household. So there is little to no scholarly doubt that she ran and benefited from this business herself. She probably had to source the cloth and build relationships with weavers or traders. She knew the process of dyeing if she didn't do it in shop with her own laborers. She managed customer relationships. She even had to deal with taxes. She may have had to pay employees, but more likely she compensated servants in her household by caring for their basic needs. But even with all of that, Lydia also knew, "I won't be doing everything all the time." Paul, Timothy, and Silas met Lydia on their evangelistic journey throughout the areas that we now call Turkey and Greece. They arrived in a bustling Roman city of Philippi, and eventually the first Sabbath day of their stay came around. When that day, a Saturday, was upon them, they went to look for a place to observe it, a day of rest and prayer with God. The rest of the city, including most, if not all, of Lydia's clients, wouldn't have stopped work for that purpose. Observing Sabbath was a strictly Jewish practice, and weekends, as most of us know them, didn't exist yet. So Paul and his entourage headed out of the city gates toward the river, where they thought they might find a known place of prayer, maybe one where other people who were part of the Jewish diaspora might be gathering on the Sabbath as well. They found such a place and such a gathering, a group of women who shared the spiritual practice of Sabbath keeping. Sabbath keeping, the ceasing of all work and delighting in the presence and love of God in the middle of a Roman city, was countercultural. The seventh day wasn't a day off for everyone else, so choosing to keep Sabbath was a choice to forego business, payment, profit for that day. It was a choice to risk not being available to customers or other business owners in the supply chain for Lydia. It was a choice to step outside of the busyness and give attention to something other than the marketplace, a choice to stop worrying about how one will do everything all the time, a choice to turn over control of time and priorities, and to give attention and space to God. In this way, Sabbath keeping is, in a way, a form of hospitality. I don't mean in that frantically scrub your house because the guests are coming over kind of hospitality, but I mean it in a way that's more akin to the hospitality cultivated in the Benedictine Christian spiritual tradition. The Benedictine monastic order was formed in the 6th century after Christ, long before there was any such thing as Catholics or Protestants. In fact, to this day, honoring that origin that predates any division, Benedictine oblates can be people from any Christian tradition, not just the Catholic one. Hospitality is at the core of the Benedictine spiritual practice. And while their retreat centers are quite simple, their sense of welcoming the stranger is extravagant. A Benedictine abbey or monastery or retreat house can never turn away a guest who is seeking shelter and hospitality. It's just not allowed. One monk, Father Daniel Homan, describes Benedictine hospitality as the practice of ordering your own life in such a way that you are always ready to center the needs of your guests. It's a radical way to show love. In keeping Sabbath, Lydia, the other women by the river, Paul, Silas, and Timothy, they created space in their lives to center the needs of God. They removed everything else that might be crowding in their hearts and their minds, and they turned to what God needs in order to make God's home with them. A number of years ago, a friend of mine began noticing a peculiar change in the way people exchanged routine greetings and pleasantries. How are you doing was the expected and common greeting question. But the answer on the rise, she noted, was busy. She pointed it out when she heard me say it once. "Stephanie, how are you doing?" she asked. And I said, "Busy." Instead of talking about how we're feeling, instead of talking about what brings us joy or even what worries us in our daily lives, many of us just answer busy. After noticing this, some of my friends started talking about how many of us and many of the people we knew actually worship at the altar of busy. In our culture, busy is honored. Busy means many people count on us, which means we are important. Busy means to us that we are being productive members of society and earning our keep, earning our comfort. But God doesn't call us to be busy. God calls us to be hospitable. God calls us to be loving. God calls us to be open. God calls us to make ready our lives and our hearts and our spirits for unexpected encounters that will allow God to open our hearts to hear what is being said. Many Bible editors add titles to the different stories in Scripture, and those titles aren't really a part of the biblical text. One title for this story that appears in many Bibles is The Conversion of Lydia. Now, I don't know about you, but I've been conditioned to think about conversion as times when a person who converts has made some decision to change. I'm not sure we heard a decision from Lydia in this case. In those other conversion stories, people who have studied enough, prayed enough, learned enough, accept, and now are ready to make a decision for something, for Jesus, a decision to believe in God, something along those lines. But that's not how it goes in Lydia's story. She is not actually the actor in her own faith conversion, if we are to call it that. A worshiper of God, a keeper of Sabbath, Lydia shows up. She gathers with the community for prayer. She rejects the altar of busy and instead leaves space in her own life. She creates some margins on the page. And when she does, there is room for the Lord to come and work in her heart. The Lord opened her heart. The Lord gave her ears to listen eagerly. Lydia simply created the space in which the Lord could work. There is so much that can crowd our lives. And in some instances, it can feel like we have little control over it all. The demands of our jobs are getting higher and higher as employers expect less people to produce more. The activities our kids are involved in ask for more and more of their time, deeper and deeper commitment, while parents, grandparents, and family friends find ourselves on the road running here and there lovingly to try to support their endeavors. Families have moved farther away from each other, so even being with those we love for reconnection and recreation can occupy more space in preparation than the time we actually spend together. And then when we are together, we feel pressured to fill all available time with every possible memory-making opportunity. I've even heard people say, I am busier in retirement than I was when I was working. And that one probably scares me the most. Many of us are left running ragged. In a world that operates like this, how countercultural is it to just stop? How revolutionary it is to set some boundaries. Or really, how radical, as in getting down to the root, how radical it is to trust that God knows just what we need in order to nurture the kind of spiritual life that God desires to share with us. We need space, the Divine One has told us. We need time that is set apart, kept open, kept holy, as the commandment says. We need community with which to carry our prayers, community to hold us accountable and delight in our experiences of grace. We need a spirit of hospitality toward God in which we make ready our lives so that God can show up and show us how to extend love to the world. That space, that spirit, that Sabbath, a full day at best, but also in the minutes and the moments that we can protect in our days, it allows us to listen eagerly to the good news, to hear and believe that we are loved before we can do anything to earn it, that we are forgiven before we have the words to accept it, that we are worthy before we have the work that proves it, that we belong before we even know what we're missing. Thanks be to God for this promise of grace, for this good news, today and always. Amen.
Thank you for listening to First Presbyterian Church of Allentown's Sermon Podcast. We hope you'll join us for worship on Sunday morning. For more information about our congregation and our ministries, please contact the church office. Now go in peace.